Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Text 4 and 5. I'll read Text 4 briefly and the translation, then we'll go on and do the Text 5 together. Shri Suta Uvacha. Iti yukto Vishnuratena Bhagavan Bhadrayani Bhagavan Bhadrayani Urvacha Charitam Vishnor Matsya Rupena Yatkritam. Sri Suta Goswami Uvacha. Sri Suta Goswami said, when Parikshit Maharaj thus inquired from Sukadev Goswami, the most powerful saintly person began describing the pastimes of the Lord's incarnation as a fish. In text 5, Sri Suka Uvacha, Go Vipra, Go Vipra Sundasam, Api Cheshvara Chandasam Api Cheshvara Shamicham Stanurdate Karmasyataiva Chayavahi Govipra-sura Sadunam Chandasam Api Cheshvara Raksham icham sthanyurdate Dharmasya tasya chai vahai. Translation: Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, for the sake of protecting the cows, Brahmins, demigods, devotees, the Vedic scripture, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the form of incarnations. Repeating, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead generally appears in various types of incarnations to give protection to the cows and brahmanas. The Lord is described as Go Brahmanya Hetaya Cha. In other words, he is always eager to benefit the cows and brahmanas. When Lord Krishna appeared, he purposefully became a cowherd boy and showed personally how to give protection to the cows, the calves. Similarly, he showed respect to Sudama Vipra, a real brahmana. From the Lord's personal activities, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to the brahmanas and cows. Then the protection of religious principles, fulfillment of the aim of life, and protection of Vedic knowledge can be achieved. Without protection of cows, Brahminical culture cannot be maintained. And without Brahminical culture, the aim of life cannot be fulfilled. The Lord, therefore, is described as Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. His incarnation is only for the protection of the cows and the brahmanas. Unfortunately, because in Kali Yuga there is no protection of the cows and Brahminical culture, everything is in a precarious position. If human society wants to be exalted, the leaders of society must follow the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita and give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, and Brahminical culture. I want to thank all my hosts here. All of you are the hosts. Especially, who was it that gave up the class today that I might speak? Who is that? Hare Krishna. You're giving such nice classes and you're so very kind to give me this opportunity to speak. That's very, very much appreciated. In Alachua, I get to speak about once every 2 months, I think is the average. So I was very fortunate. Recently, I was in Hillsboro, North Carolina, and my son was married there on Saturday. A very nice Indian girl from the Sharma family. And so I had a very nice wedding. And in the course of being there for several days before the wedding, I gave 4 classes. I was amazed. It's like, so this is a very great opportunity, and I very much appreciate it. When one is sitting here, one is sometimes thinking, who is this big guy, you know, sitting up here? You know, what's his qualification? But actually, it's so much nicer to be sitting here in some respects. I can look out and I can see all of the serious devotees here. You guys kind of get cheated here looking at me. But from where I sit, it's very, very wonderful to see so many devotees here engaged in devotional service, the hearing and chanting of the glories of the Supreme Lord, the worship of a great sage, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. This involvement that we have here is the beginning of the Brahminical culture, the beginning of reestablishing Brahminical culture throughout the whole world. Not just in India reestablishing, not just beginning again in India to reestablish, but throughout the whole world. The Brahmins and the value of the cows, these are being appreciated throughout the world now. And as we progress in time, in the course of time, this will become more and more important to the people of this world. We see in the younger generation what they're exposed to practically from birth, they take much more seriously. So our Hare Krishna movement started, I joined when I was 25, and it started out of the cold blue or gray sky of New York. Srila Prabhupada came and he began his preaching and he began to establish devotees and Brahminical culture, deity worship, and then farms. So like this, out of almost nothing, you know, one person has come and he's begun this entire movement. And now we are so fortunate we get to follow in his footsteps and to try to do something for him, for this movement, for the world in general. You know, when you're Krishna conscious, we often say Krishna fulfills many different desires with one action. So when you're Krishna conscious also, when you begin to pursue Krishna consciousness, you fulfill many, many different desires of the whole society and individuals in the society at once. The society is looking in many places for a reform, for moving away from this intense industrialization and the globalization. They're trying to get away from that and get back to a simpler life. So Krishna consciousness offers that facility. It offers that opportunity. So whatever part we play in Krishna consciousness, we're setting an example of Brahminical culture, of supporting Brahminical culture. You may be a Vaishya and work all day at some job or some business, but if you're supporting Brahminical culture by coming to the temple, by supporting brahmacharis, by supporting the preaching effort, by buying books and sending them out, however you're doing that, your involvement in that support of the Brahminical culture is what will actually save the world. There are so many societies and so many groups trying to save the world from so many different angles. And Prabhupada equated them as being like having a little tinker's hammer. You know, the silversmith, he has a little teeny hammer, small, so that he can make a smooth area and a very small piece of metal. But Prabhupada said the Krishna consciousness is like a sledgehammer. It can smash completely the misconceptions that the material world has about how to save itself and how to facilitate pleasure and definitions of what is real success. Prabhupada here defines success as the establishing of this Brahminical culture. This actually leads actually allows us to fulfill the purpose of life. This is why Matsya appears. Sometimes people perceive the incarnations of God to be a fantasy, a myth, you know, a story. Just a little fantasy. It's like on the airplane coming here, there's a big choice of how many movies. And so many movies are fantasies. You know, they have so many fantasies, ideas. And they create within them very, by cinematic purposes, very convincing pictures of dragons and queens with big heads and all these different funny things. But the reality is that Matsya and the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord, the tortoise incarnation, the boar incarnation, these are not fantastic characters. These are realities. So as it's actually a good thing, as people become more absorbed in the fantasy world, they're much more easy for them to accept the real ultimate fantastic position of the Supreme Lord. It is beyond the mundane. So here in Krishna consciousness, we're exposed to this. And at first it seems unbelievable. I had correspondence with an old friend, and the person said, you don't really believe all of these things, do you? And I said, well, why not? You know, what is the problem with believing that God can do anything? God has created this entire universe. He's floating these planets. Today we have all these pictures of the universe beyond and beyond and beyond. They just keep seeing more and more. They're so fantastically amazed at the perceptions. And, of course, what can they see? Just some colored lights. They don't really see what's going on these different planets, all the different aspects. Like, they don't see on the sun. The sun is a very near star. They can't see the buildings and the palaces and the denizens of the sun planet. They have fiery bodies. They cannot see this. Their perception, no matter how, quote, close they try to get or how far away they try to see, their perception is very, very limited. So by hearing about these different incarnations and the activities of the sun god and the activities on the different planets, the ethereal planets, we can perceive, oh, that's what it's like. We get that knowledge. And that knowledge is not something that some drug addict or someone has taken some LSD or some marijuana and he's dreamed something up, or writers. There's one guy, this guy's famous guy, Stephen King. He writes all these horrible stories about people chopping each other up. Anyway, he had something, how he gets in the mood to write these things. He eats a whole bunch of junk food, you know, and then he sleeps and he eats more junk food, you know, lots of sugar and stuff like that. And then he gets into a writing frenzy, you know. So these stories in the Bhagavatam, these are not relished by persons who are into a sugar frenzy or into a marijuana frenzy. But these are saintly persons, great austere yogis, sadhus, who had no ulterior motive. And upon hearing, because of their advanced state of austerity, upon hearing these pastimes, they were able to perceive the reality. They were actually able to understand. So we don't ask you to take Krishna consciousness on the basis of our own limited austerity and limited, penance. You have your guru here, Radhanath Swami. He lived in a cave for some time. And so he was very, very austere. And that austerity gained him a higher perception. And then when Prabhupada met him, Prabhupada actually called him forward. He's just in the back of the room, a guy with long hair and so forth. But Prabhupada could perceive, you know. So when we perform austerities and penances, we get a greater perception. So Radhanath Swami was ready to hear from Srila Prabhupada at that time by dint of his austerities and penances, even though he had no direct contact with Krishna consciousness per se. But he was still looking. He went through so many yogis trying to understand what is the ultimate purpose of life. Then when he came to Prabhupada, he said, yes, this is the ultimate purpose. And he surrendered to that purpose. So this is our great good fortune, that we're in the line of such persons. We may not be very elevated ourselves, but we have the line. We're in the group, you know. And this is the wonderful thing about Chaupati. I was here 2 years ago. And coming back is a little bit, even just a few hours here, I feel like I'm at home. It's so friendly here. You know, home is not just a comfortable place where everything is nicely done for you, although everyone is trying to do nice things for me. But home is a place where you feel that your father and mother, or your father especially here, of course your father and mother, Radha and Krishna, and then your father's spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, when that person is honored, you feel comfortable in that home. If someone is degrading the parents, if you go into a house where someone is complaining against the parents, immediately there's an uncomfortable position, uncomfortable feeling. But here, because everyone is really working so hard to become 100%, 100% sold out to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, it is very, very inspiring. And that mood, that elevated mood, is something that anyone coming here will pick up on. So I was thinking, there was one place I visited. I can't remember the name of the place. I think either Bangkok or someplace in Thailand, or maybe I can't remember. But at any rate, someone gave a benediction to that place. The king had done something, and so some sage was feeling generous, and he gave a benediction that whoever goes to this place will always want to come back, always want to return. So I think you have that benediction here also, that whoever comes to Chaupati always wants to return. It's so very refreshing to see what Srila Radhanath has done here in training you. And as you train each other, as you train more and more, as the generations go on, you will start to delight. You'll actually delight and feel the ecstasy of that achievement. Achievement doesn't mean I'm going after some big achievement, trying to make a film in which Krishna consciousness will become the talk of the town, the talk of the global village. Everyone will be interested in, what is this? What is this idea? How is it being done? And, it's very funny and it's very entertaining and so forth. So I was teasing my wife the other day. I said, I'm just going to work on my Oscar acceptance speech, you know. She has never been in favor of this at all. So it was a real tease for her, a real torment. But at any rate, no matter what one is doing, one is every day sweeping the dust out of the corner of the room. This is a participation in Srila Prabhupada's movement, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And by sweeping the dust out of the room, someone comes and has the feeling. He doesn't see that there's no dust in the corner, but he has the feeling this is a very clean place. This is a spiritual place. This is a sacred place. Why does he feel it's sacred? Because the people who are here managing, and not just the managers, but everybody is managing, everyone who is maintaining the place has that respect for it, has that feeling, that emotional attachment for it, to try to make it a very, very wonderful experience for anyone who comes. Why we maintain such a nice temple, not just so that we can come every morning and feel very comfortable, but so that others will come and be attracted to Krishna. This is our business. So whatever form of sankirtan one may be involved in, we can understand that the purpose of the sankirtan is to attract others to Krishna, others to come out of the doldrums, the mundanes, the malaise, they call it, the malaise. Some American president, he got very, very much chastised. He said, America is in a malaise. You know, so how could he say such a thing? But it was true, of course. They were all just absorbed in consumerism and nonsense like that. So that is the big danger in the world, at large, in India. I see so many cars. Every time I come, so many more cars are here, different kinds of cars and so forth. And the question is, has that really solved the problems of the country? You know, no, it has only just created so many more problems. In America, they have the same problem, coming from one part of the country to the other. They only have two lanes, or four lanes, actually, two lanes in each direction. It's not enough. So they make three, and then they make four. And always the roads are chewed up trying to make more lanes, you know. And it can never be successful because always there are more and more cars. So like this, our business is to actually by Brahminical culture, the Brahmins lead a life of renunciation, of self-satisfaction. And by that standard and that example, everyone is understanding what is the real purpose of life. Not just to accumulate endlessly so many different things. In India, you go into a kitchen and it has the necessities. It has the choppers and the graters and so forth, the pots and the pans. The necessities are there. You don't need 100 different types of appliances, microwaves that make you sick and cause cancer and so forth. It's not necessary. But so many people, just in the interest of money, they're trying to sell you all of these things. So a Brahminical culture, a Brahminical person knows, I don't need that. He knows how to stop and control. I don't need this thing. I don't need that thing. It is not necessary for me in order to experience happiness to have all this stuff. I was sitting next to one man on the plane. I said, what is it that you do? He said, I'm designing software. I said, oh, I see. I see recently some news factor was there that that gadgets are selling more now than clothes throughout the whole world. The market for gadgets is bigger than for clothes. So the world is satiated with the basic necessities. But instead of turning their time to the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, of understanding the real purpose of life, that my short life, I'm now 64, how many more years do I have? 10, 15, 5, who knows? I don't know. Maybe 3 days, who knows? Maybe a few minutes. You don't know how long your life is, and yet you're mad after some gadget, some bauble, you know. It, some people are chasing the stones. The ladies especially, they like to see these glittering stones and the gold and so forth. And some people, the young men, they're so much after the gadgets, you know. And so because the gadget is costing only $100 or $200, they can afford it. They can't afford the newest car. They can't afford the Lamborghini or, you know, the $400,000 car. But they can afford the $100 gadget. And so their minds are caught up in this. And their discussion between themselves. This is the newest gadget. Do you have this? You know, and their self-esteem, their self-worth is all about what I have here in my little pocket, my newest, latest gadget. And I know how to control it and do so many things. Well, that's too bad, you know. We say, actually, that's a misuse of your life to be absorbed like that. And if you talk to someone like that, you know, because ultimately they will realize, yeah, it's true, I'm wasting my time. They'll realize that. So as you're going out and preaching, you talk to people in this way, you know, you're wasting your time if your life is not dedicated to understanding the goal of life. You don't have to say you have to dedicate your life to Krishna. No, you have to understand what is in your best self-interest. What is the goal of your life that will actually make you happy? Then, by preaching to them like that this is a process where you can discover, you know, with the aid of God, or just by the process. You can preach about Krishna consciousness in so many ways. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a vibration that unlocks the spiritual world, the world beyond the normal phenomena that we're seeing. Everyone will buy the fact that their mind is capable of so much more. They say Einstein used 10% of his brain. So the mind is capable of so much more perception. So how to get to that position of being super perceptive? This vibration will unlock the world that lies beyond, and you'll be able to see that. Don't even have to mention Krishna practically. Well, of course, you chant Hare Krishna, but that's just the word. Those are the words. You can present this in the most impersonal way, and still people will take it up, be interested, and then they'll be infected and they'll fall in love with Krishna. Ultimately, our goal is not to just perceive all the worlds and know what's going on and all the different nooks and crannies. Our goal is to fall in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make a loving exchange with Him. That is what everybody wants. Every woman, every man. They want their husband or their wife to be more loving, to be more appreciative, to be more kind. They want this. So you'll never get that completely. You may get a very kind husband, a very generous wife. You may get these things. But the real person that you want to have that perfect relationship with is Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And once you have that relationship with Krishna, all of your other relationships fall into perspective. They fall into place and you can understand what is the value of this person. If this person is helping me to become Krishna conscious, even just 5% of my relationship with that person is moving me towards Krishna consciousness, 95% is on the mundane level. That 5% can be honored and valued and appreciated, and you can fan that spark and develop full Krishna consciousness with these persons that you're associated with. I was thinking today how nice it is to be brahmachari and how fortunate those of you who are in the temple, it's not just brahmachari actually, brahmacharini, anyone who comes to the temple and gets the association of devotees is so fortunate. This is the Brahminical culture that Prabhupada is talking about here. This is what we're trying to establish. And whether the Brahmins chastise you, whether you meet a very immature devotee and he chastises you and it's not justified and it's rude or whatever, you're still getting so much benediction because you've interacted with someone who is trying to put himself at the disposal of the Supreme Lord. So it's a very, very amazing exchange that's going on in a place like this. You know, driving through Calcutta last night from Mumbai from the airport, such a long drive, so many things, so many street scenes, you know. And of course, there's always a shock because it's a little more messy than it is in America. Still, there's a lot of messy places. But still, just amazing, such a long, long drive and so many apartments, so many buildings, so many people on the street. It was 11 o'clock at night. People are all wandering around on the street because it's the coolest part of the day, naturally. But what are they up to? If you look, what are they doing? What are they involved in? You know, they're just sitting around waiting for something to happen, literally. Waiting for someone to take a cab with them or to go to the bar or get out of the program they're in and go to another program. So much wasting time, so much foolishness. But here, in Krishna consciousness, devotees are captivated by Krishna and they are trying very hard to captivate others, to bring them to Krishna's lotus feet. So when you get in touch with such a person, such a Brahmin, such a Vaishnav, you can consider yourself to be the absolutely most fortunate. There's no further that you need to look for good fortune. You don't have to get a job on the stock exchange or meet a millionaire person and they'll elevate you. You cannot get any more fortunate than this, being in a Krishna conscious environment and having devotees help you in your spiritual life, whether they chastise you fairly or unfairly. It's amazing, actually, how much benediction there's there. Because ultimately our success depends on developing this quality of humility. I always like to say this every class, practically. In the spiritual world, it's described that the platform of all the rasa, is performed on this stage, a dais of pure humility. So like that, in order to enter into that, one has to become humble and appreciate that every person he meets is representing Krishna in some way or another. So I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments. What is the general time is up, I think, huh? 9:15? Okay, so we'll take any questions or comments now at this point.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You joined ISKCON in 70s.
72.
So since then, has there been any time when you have spent time at some farm community serving the cows? And
yeah,
you must have had so many experiences in that. So could you share some of those experiences with us?
Well, I milked cows in New New Gokula. It was a farm in British Columbia that they since sold. They purchased from that point. They went and they produced Sharanagati. You've heard of Sharanagati. It's a very nice, successful devotee community there in British Columbia, higher up. This place was right on the border of America. It was literally, there was a barbed wire fence, little fence, and you could walk to that and you could feel the vibrations of America coming over. It was horrifying. I did that one day. I walked down to the fence. I wonder what it's like. Is it different? And I got down there. It was almost like hot air coming out, you know. I was like amazed. And on the other side, you know, it was just a farm, just a simple farm. But the vibration between the two different countries was so different, and it could be experienced there. At any rate, yes, I milked the cows. I took care of cows and so forth. I also emptied the... it's not very humble to say this. It was a humble job, but it's not very humble to brag about it. But I emptied the latrines, you know. That was my job. And so it was very interesting, you know. So Brahminical culture, of course, doesn't mean that you're just a Brahmin and you sit and read scripture all day. Brahminical culture means that Brahmin, he can do anything. He can pitch in and do anything. He's satisfied to do anything either, also. So the cows, we had one cow there named Mother Yasoda, and she had an enormous udder. I mean, it was literally like this, huge. And we would get sometimes 2 gallons of milk a day from her, you know, morning and evening. And she was a beautiful cow, black and white, Holstein. And she produced for many, many years. I think she could go about 3-4 years without having a calf, you know, and still producing milk. So that's quite amazing, you know. So the cow protection, the idea, is not caught on in America so well, unfortunately, because they don't know how to deal with the cow after he retires. So that's a dilemma. It requires a good deal of land, and it requires a herd of about 600 cows, I think, to make the transition between the different generations so that the right number are dying and the right number are being born. So it's a big involvement. You have a goshala here? Is that right? Very nice. Not here, but outside. Do you get... Outside the city. Do you get the milk from there to bring it here?
There are almost 200 devotees who are serving in that farm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
So this is like around 100 kilometers from the temple.
Really?
And because city, they don't allow, the municipal authorities don't allow you to keep cows and other animals.
We have to be careful because the farm that we had there, the farm that we took over in British Columbia had... I think two people running it. It was almost a square mile. It was about 300 acres. They had two people running it, and then they brought 40 devotees, and it all went apart. You know, it all fell apart. So farming is a very scientific business. The farmer is a very well-rounded person. He's very strong. He can do physical work, and he has a good mind. He knows how to use the moon and grow his plants and take care of his animals nicely. It's a very, very elevated position, actually, to be Vaishya and know what you're doing around these animals and on the land. It's a very elevated position. So having had those experiences and not being so terribly proficient, you know, I didn't pursue for many years. But It's a wonderful thing to have that experience with the animals and get to know them and to, you know, squeeze them and get the milk and so forth. It's feed them, and just once you're close to them for some time like that, you develop a real familial feeling, you know, them and also the elephant. We had a very nice elephant in Mayapur when I was there. Gulab, she passed away because she was not taken care of too well. It was a problem. You know, she was not. She's living on cement, and she should have been living on mati, on land. So, like this, it's a big responsibility to be a serious Vaishya and to take those positions. It's described that the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas are like this, and the Vaishyas and the Sudras are like this. They have two very close ties, you know. But the Brahminical culture means that you recognize these other cultures, these other ashrams, or these other varnas, rather. You recognize them, and you facilitate them, and you give them instruction. Instruction means a Brahmin should know how to handle a cow. He should know what to do. So anyone here, I know, like my friend Sri Kishore is helping me with this film business. He's very interested to do that. So he went to college. So sometimes maybe devotees must go to some educational system to learn very, very well, or either go to some master, someone who has a farm. Of course, the business of the farming right now in America is the business of slaughterhouses. The milk is actually... The farmers are generous in producing the milk. That's actually a generosity that they're performing. But their real money comes from slaughtering the cows. It's a fact. Their real money, you know, when they're interested in just the money, it comes from the slaughter. But the dairymen, and many dairymen in America who took it as a vocation, not just to make money, but they enjoy the production of milk. They enjoy giving to society this very, very valuable commodity. It's like, take someone like a gold miner, you know. There's no real pleasure in going into a hole in the ground and digging, you know. But if someone does that and he gives pleasure to others, he sees that, if he takes that pleasure for himself that he's giving to others, then he has some motivation beyond just the money, you know. But for the dairyman, that's also a motivation that he should appreciate in his life. Devotees, we say we have the most wonderful thing here, and it is true, but we don't negate the other parts of life, the other activities of people doing things, the rickshaw wallas and so forth. I know one devotee in Mayapur, very nice devotee, Maha Sringa. Yeah, he developed a relationship with the people in the villages nearby. He would take and make large quantities of prasadam for them. And sometimes he would just go and buy cookies, you know, the ordinary cookies that you can get at the vendor, and he would distribute them to the rickshaw wallahs. He would offer them and distribute them to the rickshaw wallahs. And one devotee said, "Oh, they're our enemies. These rickshaw wallahs, they're our enemies. Why are you doing like this?" So the devotee doesn't see anyone as an enemy. He sees everyone as entitled to Krishna's mercy. He doesn't make these caste distinctions. If this person is qualified, that person is not qualified. Here you take on people who are, as devotees, who have education and so forth. So that educated position is very valuable. No question about it. It's very valuable. Why? Because it teaches you to be generous. What does someone who is very educated like to do? He likes to give out his education. He likes to enlighten other people and tell them about what he's learned. This is the passing on. So we're here to become humble. You know, that's our business. Never forget that. Our business is not just to become very well educated and very erudite speakers and excellent at managing whatever... book distribution or cow protection. Our business is not that. Our business is to become humble. And when you're in a humble position, you can learn so much faster. Why does a child learn a language so quickly? Because he's willing to make mistakes. He's willing to speak in a broken language. And what do we do? We adore that. We think, oh, that's very cute. That's very pretty. You know, he's trying to learn what to speak, how to speak. So then when the language is perfected, though, then that sort of automatically comes, depending on the association. So our business is to become very humble and become servant of the servants. And this is, you know, in dealing with the movie industry, I see so many very different movies made, and I'm not very impressed by many of them. Most of them, you know, are just horrifying. But I feel that those people also have a right to become Krishna conscious. The most degraded people, coming from a very degraded background myself, I can appreciate that we have a right, everyone has a right to become God conscious. The cows also have a right to be decorated and become God conscious and serve Krishna. So I think the time is just about up. Any other questions or comments? Is that, I don't have so many pastimes with the cows. I'm sorry. Jai. Thank you very much. All glories to your service here. Please continue to glorify your spiritual master by making so many nice sacrifices. It's very nice. Hare Krishna.